I invite you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. I want to go back over some verses that we looked at last week and then continue on from there, reading through verse 56. Let's begin at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Her favor was that God was with her. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." I ran across some excuses that we might give to the angel Gabriel if he came with such news as he did to Mary, and I thought they were kind of interesting when this particular author said, "I know how I would react. Lord, this is rather inconvenient at this time. We have no insurance. As you know, Lord, Joseph and I are not fully married yet, and he is not going to be real happy about this. Lord, the community is not likely to see this as a positive thing. They will probably be lining up with stones. Lord, can I get a second opinion? I want you to understand the gravity of what Gabriel told Mary that day. We look at it as great news, and it is. We get excited that the angel would come to her and say to her, 'You will give birth to the Messiah.' But could we wait till Joseph and I are, like, you know, not engaged anymore but married? Can we wait till after that and the insurance kicks in and everything's kind of honky-dory? Can we wait till then? Do you guys ever have conflicts with God's timing in your life?" "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "I'm a virgin. I haven't been with any man, and how will this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's where we camped out last week. I love Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now you're there. Gabriel's gone. You know that you're going to have this baby. How's this all going to work out? What do you do next? Well, verse 39, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, some distance from where she was from. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." Why, of course. The angel said, Elizabeth, you know, the one that's elderly and barren, she's with child. I think Mary's probably verifying all of this. She believed it. She said, "Be it done unto me as God wills." And yet she goes to Elizabeth to find out what's going on with Elizabeth. Maybe she just said, "Man, I gotta see this for myself. Elizabeth expecting? You're kidding me." And so she goes to Zechariah's home and greets Elizabeth. Watch what happens. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. How old is this baby? 6 months after conception. And he leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And watch what she says. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. That had to be a bit overwhelming. I was at a meeting of big dogs in a company, stockholders meeting, and I was asked, little old me was asked to do a Bible study for them. And there was one man that came to this, and he was a rather big man and a very loud man, and I thought, I'm just going to tell them what God's Word says. This man walks up to me and he goes, he looks at me and he kind of looked down at me because he was such a big man. And he looked at me and he goes, are you a man of God? I said, well, yeah, I guess I am. And that's kind of the impression I got when Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. In comes Mary to see this thing about Elizabeth being pregnant. And Elizabeth looks at her and filled with the Holy Spirit, she says, blessed are you among women. What? How did you know? Who told you? And what a confirmation from God that he was at work in Mary's life. And where there may have been fear or doubt about what she was about to face, here's Elizabeth loudly proclaiming by the Holy Spirit at work through her, telling her, you are blessed, Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And then Elizabeth continues, verse 43, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How do you know all this stuff, Elizabeth? Well, that's easy. She was full of the Holy Spirit. God was at work through her. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I gotta believe Mary's in tears at this point, because God has confirmed through Elizabeth what Gabriel told her shortly ago. And where, like I said, there may have been fear, now it was squelched by the presence of the Holy Spirit working through Elizabeth. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. But Mary, hold on just a minute. You're not even married yet. Do you understand what you're about to go through? Do you understand the whispers that people might have in secret conversations even as you pass by? Do you know the stigma that might be attached to this child that was conceived before marriage? Can you imagine what it will be like to raise your child and for some 30 years enjoy his presence and then watch him die a cruel and condemned death on a cross? How is it, Mary, that your soul can glorify your God? For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. If you read this about Mary and what she says, you will begin to understand Mary knew what was happening. Oh, she didn't necessarily understand every detail, but she knew that the promised Messiah was finally to come, and she was the one who would deliver him to this world. She understood that. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. She understands that this isn't just a here and now. It isn't just for her lifetime. She understands that the baby she will give birth to is eternal. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Will you pray with me? Father, we need your help. this same Holy Spirit who filled Elizabeth and used her to confirm and encourage Mary. That same Spirit lives within us. Oh, how often, Father, I confess, I take for granted His presence in my life. Forgive us when we have overlooked His power. Holy Spirit, will You freely minister the truth of Your word to our lives? You know where these Your sheep are. You know what they need to hear. Give them ears to hear Your word. Give us strength and courage to do Your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and be in the audience with me. Hear the host as he calls out, "Rod, we need another contestant on The Price is Right." Listen to Rod as he cries out, "Janice Purnell, come on down." Now, I want you to envision that just for a moment. Those of you who don't know Janice, find her afterwards. She'll be the one chasing me across the campus. She would come screaming down the aisle with hands in the air. And she would come to contestant row and she would reveal to the world on television that she had a t-shirt that said, "We love you, Bob." And there she would be, right there in front of Bob. And she would be so excited, saying, "Thank you, Bob Barker, for letting me be on The Price is Right. I know there's a new guy, but this is back when Bob, the real host, was there." Imagine the excitement ramping up when Janice's was the closest bid and she wins a grandfather clock. Now she's no longer on contestant's row. She's now coming up the steps, bounding three steps at a time in one leap. And look out, Bob, here comes Janice Purnell. And she bowls him over with a hug and says, "Oh, thank you, I've always wanted a grandfather clock." But it gets better. He then shows her the opportunity of a lifetime. She can win a new car. And it's even more excitement. And she wins. And there she goes off to the wheel, and she wins money on the wheel. And then she goes to the final showdown, and her bid is so close that she not only wins her showcase, but she wins them both. And she comes home and she's so excited, and she can't stop talking about Bob Barker and how wonderful Bob Barker is. And all she's got from Bob Barker is a couple of showcases, 10 grand, and a grandfather clock. Oh yeah, the new car. And you say, "That's all? Good gracious, that's enough to sing the man's praises for a while." Is it really? If that's enough to get you jazzed, what in the world are you going to do when you stop and consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? There's no showcase out there that'll hold a candle to what He's done for you. He paves the streets of your new neighborhood with showcases. You glorify, you magnify. Pull out your magnifying glass and you be the glass. You be that which portrays Christ. You don't make Him great. You don't make Him bigger than He is. You just simply exalt Him and show forth who He is. And that's what was happening here with Mary. She was magnifying the Lord. She was exalting Him. She was glorifying Him. But if you're going to understand why or how she did that, you need to understand what's happening in her life. Lest you think for one moment that Mary's life was just wonderful and peaches and cream. You need to understand her normal life had just been turned upside down. She may have started the day peeling potatoes and hauling water. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. I mean, she's excited. She's getting married Saturday. And this angel shows up and tells her it's not going to be Saturday for Mary. But in any case, she's excited about her upcoming wedding and the fact that she will be married. But suddenly, well, that's great. I'd love to have the privilege of bearing the child Jesus, but not right now. Not a good time. Come back in about a year. See, when in a year my husband will be done preparing and getting ready for the wedding, and the wedding will have taken place, then you can sneak Jesus in my womb. Be good then. Have you ever bargained with God? I'll do that, God, later, okay? Not a good time right now. He has a way of crashing our little party, doesn't he? And rattling our comfort zone. How many times have we turned a deaf ear to him? Mary didn't. So you need to understand that her praises came, her exaltation of God came in the midst of trial. Everything wasn't just great. But see, she saw behind the curtain of the right now, the here and now circumstances. She saw what was really happening. And she saw the significance of that eternally. And so, like Mary, you and I need to be those who glorify, magnify, exalt the Lord. Why? How? Point number one, reflect on who you are without Christ. Take some time to reflect on who you are without Jesus Christ. Know that without him you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Mary recognizes that in verse 47, 48, he has been mindful of the humble estate or state of his servant. She was just from up in Nazareth with Joseph. She's going to marry a carpenter. It's not really this high profile life. She's just a humble servant of her Christ. I think she knew the word. I think she understood. I think she grasped at least what she could of what Gabriel told her. I think she understood that. But she also understood who she was. She understood that the favor came from the presence of God, not because of how great Mary was. And as you and I attempt, like Mary, to glorify, to magnify my soul, my psyche, the seat of my emotions from within. It's interesting that her soul magnified the Lord, and she couldn't help but her lips did follow. I'm thankful at Faith Church. I see a window to the soul or the psyche or the seat, the heart of who you are when you sing. I've watched you even when you aren't real familiar with a song. I've watched you try to bellow it out anyway. Even when you're off key, I've heard you sing, and I am thankful that you do, because it's a window to your heart. And it's interesting that here, Mary's inner being magnified the Lord, and she couldn't be quiet. And as far as I know, Elizabeth is still there hearing her magnify the Lord, glorifying his name, exalting her God. And she does that because she appreciates her lowly estate. She doesn't, and it would have been easy enough for Mary to go, well, so I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. I'm something. And how easy is it for us to do likewise? God must think pretty highly of me. I mean, why wouldn't he? And yet she understood her lowly estate. She understood her nothingness apart from Christ. And to me, that's where genuine exaltation of the Lord actually begins. Let's go back to Janus at the Price is Right for a moment.
What if Bob Barker never calls her? She sits back there with her wonderful t-shirt. The camera never captures her face. She doesn't get to come down to contestant row. She doesn't get to win a grandfather clock. She doesn't get to get a car. She doesn't get to spin the wheel and win money. She doesn't get to win the showcases. She just sits in the audience. I have this fear. And the fear is this, that some of you may just be sitting in the audience. Oh, you could tell me about Jesus. You've heard about him. You've seen him. You've read some scriptures about him. You've heard somebody else talk about him. And you've seen him give away eternal life. You've seen him forgive sins. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But you're just sitting in the audience. When you could be up on stage experiencing all that he has to offer you through faith in him. But you won't start right here. You won't admit it. You won't say, you know what? Without Christ, I got nothing. No grandfather clock, no car, no money, no nothing. I'm bankrupt spiritually. And some of you are clinging to this idea that you got something to offer God. And I want you to understand from Mary, you got nothing. Are you going to spend your life in the audience and wish for all eternity that you had something that you don't have? Will yours be one of the voices that said, oh, but Lord, I saw the show. I saw somebody go up there and win a clock. I saw it. I was there. And only to hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. See, that's a fear I have. And I'm saying to you, stop it. Stop sitting in the audience. He's calling your name. And the first step is to acknowledge, without him, you have nothing. That's the place to begin if you would exalt the Lord Christ, even as Mary did. And the second point is this. Consider the work of Jesus in your life. Contemplate. Meditate. Think about it. Like he said to Mary, Mary, I will plant within you the very physical presence of my son. He will form in your womb. I will knit him together in your womb. Does he offer us any less spiritually? The Christ that was born of Mary is offered to us in relationship. In Christ Jesus, we have the presence of Almighty God. So when you hop in your car on Monday morning and head to the office or haul the kids to school, or sit around the breakfast table, he's right there. He's right here. When you encounter a trial in the neighborhood or at home, when things get a little bit tense, family relationship-wise, over the holidays, he's right here. He's not out there. He's right here. We have the presence of the living God in Christ Jesus. Consider his work in your life. She speaks of his work. Mary does in her psalm of praise. Consider that he's given you eternal life. Not someday. We're guilty of thinking about eternal life in terms of after this life, but it begins now. In Christ, it begins now. I have a relationship with the Father now. And my life is eternal now. Oh, this flesh and bones. No, they're not eternal. But I have an eternal life with Christ now. He has taken away all of your sin. You want to be overwhelmed? Make a list. Get out a piece of paper. Make a list. Something that's burnable so that you don't keep it around. Just make a list of the things that God's forgiven you. How about the time that you said, or the time that you did, or the time that you thought or didn't do or didn't say when you should have said or should have done? All of that sin, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My sin in Christ is gone. He's removed it from me as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. Consider the work that Mary talks about, exalts in Christ about, the good works that he does, the great things he has accomplished. He's given you eternal life. He's taken away your sin. He no longer condemns you. And all of that because of his incredible love for you. I've heard about people in Idaho. I started to say we, and I messed up. I apologize. But people in Idaho, I understand, wrestle with this idea that God really loves me. And they play this game with God about earning brownie points with him. Have you heard about those people? Thinking that somehow if you keep secret a thought that he'll still love you, but if he ever found out, he'd maybe not love you as much, or heaven forbid he would quit loving you. Can I let you in on a little secret? That he knows your past. And if that's not overwhelming enough, he knows your future. And he knows what you're doing right now. He even knows what you're thinking about this very moment. And he still chooses to love you. So there's not something tomorrow that you will do, say, or think that he will go, "Oh, I can't believe he did that. I can't love him anymore." He already knew when he was born of Mary what you and I would think today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He knows all of that. And in Christ, he loves you. The list could go on and on. Do you do this? Do you open your gifts? Maybe there's a family gathering. I think that all of my wife's side of the family will be here for Christmas. It will be chaos. She has two brothers. One's not married. The other one's married with three small children. And then add my three children. They're perfectly behaved. And then we have six children around the Christmas tree. And then, of course, I'm always perfectly behaved as well. And so add 2, 4, 6, 7 adults, and it gets a little chaotic opening gifts. Is it that way at your home? Do you do it one at a time and everybody gets impatient with each other? Or does everybody just dive in at once and, "Oh, sorry, I unwrapped yours. Here, this is yours, I think." Anyway, it can tend to get chaotic, and so you open a gift and you go, "Wow, thank you, that's really nice," and you show everybody and you set it down. And then later in the day, when things have quieted down and all the children have been drugged, just kidding, and you have a moment and you pull out that gift again, do you do this? Do you begin to take it apart and look at it? Go, "Wow, I didn't know that it would do that." And you begin to look at the instruction manual. Some of you don't do that. I've seen the things you build. And you look at the instruction manual and you go, "Wow, I didn't know it would do that. Well, look, I didn't know it had that. I didn't know it was one of those. Wow, this is really cool." And you begin to pull it apart and you begin to learn more and more about it. That's all I want you to do with this sermon. Mary exalts because she sees what God is doing in her life. Mary exalts because it's not about Mary. It's about her God who's introducing the Savior into this world. And he says, "Mary, I want to do that through you." And Mary says, "Let it be so." And she exalts in watching God at work. And that's all I want you to do this Christmas. I want you to unwrap again Jesus. I've just scratched the surface concerning his works that Mary gloried in. I've just scratched the surface in terms of his mighty deeds, his great works, and all that he came to do. And I want you to unwrap that gift again. Some of you don't know Christ. That's a possibility. And my prayer is that you open him for the first time. Some of you know Christ. And you need to experience all over again all that it means that he came. Open that gift again. And glory. Spend some time just telling him how great he is. You're going to have another opportunity as a body to do that in just a minute. The praise team will lead us in song. And during that time, I just want to encourage you. They'll do that after I pray. I want to encourage you just to unwrap Christ and tell him how great he is as you sing to him, as you sing of the works of our God.